Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. I love what Paulina said. It's not Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday. And as believers across the world, people will be flocking to a building to worship the one and only King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world. And what an honor and a privilege it is this morning to bring the message. But before I do, I've got some exciting news. Anybody want some exciting news? These five, come and see me afterwards. The rest of you can wait. Now, the exciting news is, those of you who receive our emails and are part of the Pneuma East family, registrations for the grand opening are opening today. So look out for, you're paid. I don't know if you're excited about it, but we're excited. Is Sung in the house? He should be jumping up and down on a chair. There you are, Sung. You didn't even react, brother. What's your problem? Come and see me afterwards, dude. Come and see. No, kidding. But yeah, we'll send out the registrations. You'll receive an email around about 3 o'clock today, so look out for that. Please get on there and register. Remember, we do have limited spots to each service. So as soon as those spots are done, first in, best dressed, then you're going to have to go to the other service or vice versa, one of the two. But we're pretty excited about that. We are this close to open, flinging those doors open. And my gosh, I cannot wait, believe me. I know Sung cannot wait. His wife cannot wait, because then she's going to get her husband back. That's true, hey, Paulina? Maybe you two should get together and do some counsel one another. Sung and I catch up enough. Anyway, enough of that. Also, at the desk, you would have got, or at the tables on the front, you would have got your parking maps and your exit plans. Please make sure you put one in your car, on your mirror, and know where to park when we do have our grand opening. If you have your Bibles this morning, which I hope you do, because we are students of the Word, we would love you to turn to make sure you've got them. We are going through a lot of Scripture. So make sure you've got them there with you, or even if it's on your phone, that is good as well. On Friday, we had an amazing service. We had one service, it was packed. And we basically unpacked how Jesus had to become a man to die as a man so that his blood could atone for our sins. We are in a series of Jesus the person. And we looked at the Lamb of God on Friday. And today, the title of my message is Jesus the person, the risen Lord. We explored the fact that the Lamb of God, this was on Friday, had to be a spotless substitute for the judgment that we as man carry because Adam decided to eat an apple. But the story doesn't end at the cross. As we saw with our little skit this morning, thanks to the two ladies, to Gail and Elizabeth, that showed us what happened on that resurrection morning. You see, Jesus, if he had only have died, he would have been remembered as a martyr. But because he rose, he is glorified as Lord. And he is our future and inheritance. And that has been secured because we do have an empty tomb. So today on Resurrection Sunday, I want to unpack the thought that Jesus, the Son of Man, not only laid down his life, but he took it up again, defeating death. He defeated death through the power of the Spirit, fully God and also fully man. You see, Jesus was raised as a man. Swallow that one. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we talk and think about Jesus and the whole resurrection, it's like we sort of like super spiro it. We super spiritualize it as though he floated out of the tomb like a ghost. But I want us to stop and think about it. You see, his body wasn't in the tomb. Yeah? Am I right? His body wasn't in the tomb. But that's just one factor. But as you unpack Scripture, as you study Scripture, you see that there is even more. And I want us to get a new perspective, as we have over the past two sermons, get a new perspective, because it is needed to help us walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So I don't know if you're ready for this. So put on your seatbelts, as they say, put on your seatbelts, because we're about to hit the Word of God like you have not yet. And we are about to uncover and discover the truth. Let's start off in John, the book of John. John 10, verses 17 to 18. It reads as follows out of the NIV. But before we do that, let's pray, because we always need to pray, don't we? Holy Spirit, help. May we see and hear and receive the truth today, that it sets us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 10. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. This is Jesus speaking. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. My own accord. He lays it down on his own accord. Remember on Friday, I spoke about the fact that Jesus was not forced onto the cross. He actually climbed onto the cross. It was his decision. He chose to do that. It was on his own accord that he decided to lay down his life. It continues, I have authority, he says, to lay it down and authority to take it up. This right there is clear confirmation or affirmation of Jesus' willing sacrifice, that willing sacrifice to lay down, the willing sacrifice to climb on the cross. It was of his own accord. The words authority, there's two words, authority, affirms his divine authority over life and death. This is important. Just go with me. Later on in Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews, we read that the Son, Jesus, the Son of Man, defeated death. So in Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 18, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because it explains it a little bit clearer. It says this, since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. That was Friday's message. To fully identify with us. He did this, listen to this, so that he could experience death. Let's just stop there. Let's realize God cannot die. Do we agree on that one? God cannot die. So the only way for Jesus to experience death was to become human. And then it continues, it says, and to annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. So he came to experience death, because as God he couldn't, but also to annihilate the effects. The New Living Translation says, only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Wow. Wow. Very, very significant. Let's look at another scripture. Luke 24. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 24, verses 39 to 40. New Living Translation. He says this. He walks, comes through the wall, standing amongst his disciples, and he says, look at my hands, look at my feet, you can see. Look, see, that it is really me. Touch me. What is he working with? He's working with our senses. Look, see, touch. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. So when he appeared to his disciples in the upper room, he didn't say, don't worry, guys, it's me in spirit. He says, He says, touch me. See that. Why? Because his resurrection is not symbolic, people. It's nothing to get super spiro about. His resurrection is bodily. He still has flesh. He still has bones. He still has a physical body. He walked out of the tomb in victory, mission accomplished. He did not float. He did not disappear. When you read the Bible, you see even later on throughout that time that he, in the 40 days before his ascension, he rose, he could touch, he ate food, he walked, he talked, he loved, he laughed, all along though with the marks of his suffering with him. This is important to know. It's important to know because we always think when it comes to resurrection, oh, it just happened back then. No, no, no. What happened back then, the fact that he came out of the tomb, he walked out in bodily form, he was resurrected in the bodily form, that affects our future. That affects where we are and how we walk, how we talk, how we live today. But there's something different about his body at this time. And I want to highlight this. What do you mean there was something different about his body? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 to 49, we're not going to go there. I'm just going to summarize it. Paul talks about a natural body and a spiritual body. I summarize it as follows. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Here it comes. The first man was from the earth. The second man is from heaven. Jesus' body is now a spiritual body. Jesus' body is now a glorified body, fully transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. His body is no longer, what am I saying? His body is no longer limited by natural laws. His body is no longer limited by sickness and decay or even death. This is another way to think about it. Before the resurrection, Jesus' human body was exactly like ours. He could breathe, he got tired, he felt pain, he bled, he could be beaten, he could be crucified, and he could be killed, which he was. But after the resurrection, he could still eat. We read that in Luke 24, verses 42 to 43. He could still be touched, John 20, verses 27. He could still breathe, John 20 to 22. What was different? He could also appear and disappear through locked doors. He was no longer subject to death or decay, but his body was now eternal. He is still Jesus, the Son of Man, but now with a body that's been through death and defeated and been raised in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is now eternal. He is eternal. My point is this. His human story didn't end at the cross. His humanity didn't vanish in a cloud, poof, just gone. His victory was as a man. Why? So that men and women like you and like I can be and walk and follow and should live in the same victory that he came and gave us. Jesus, the Son of Man, was not raised back to life to go back to heaven and watch with his arms folded from a distance. He wasn't raised for that purpose. He was raised to lead a new chapter in the existence of humanity, in the existence of you and I. He was lead to raise and to walk with a people filled with the Holy Spirit. He was raised to walk with people who were on fire for God, with the fire of God burning in their bellies. He was raised to walk with people to take back what the enemy has stolen, advancing his kingdom and bringing heaven to earth. That's what he was raised for, to lead you and I. He's gone before us. A people, that's us, a church destined to walk as he walked. He didn't say, oi, you walk this road and I'll follow. He went, I've gone before you. Come. 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 He walked out of that tomb. And he said, it is sealed. It is sealed. Mission accomplished. Now, do as I did. Walk as I walked. Talk as I talk. Live as I've lived. You can because he did. You can because he did. So this is at the resurrection. Now we start thinking, okay, so JJ, he walked. But what happened with the ascension. I know I'm going a little bit forward, but this is important to seal what I want to say for this day. What happened at the ascension? Let's turn to Acts. Acts 1 verses 8 to 11. Acts 1 verses 8 to 11. I'm going to read it. It's going to be on the screen from the Passion Translation. But I promise you this. This is him. This is Jesus talking to his people, talking to the disciples. But I promise you this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. Everybody say power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest place on the earth. Now we read that. We know that off by heart. Got to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. He'll be with us. He'll be with us forever. But listen to verse 9. Right after he spoke those words, the disciples saw Jesus lifted into the sky and disappear into a cloud. Stop. He was lifted into the sky. He didn't vanish. Poof, gone. He was lifted into the sky. Josh, jump up onto the stage quickly. Thank you. So Josh is over here. Let's say he's Jesus. Nearly looks like Jesus, but anyway, he's got a long way to go. Prophesying of you, brother. Look at me, Josh. Look, turn around this way. There you go. So I'm standing here. Now imagine we had a lot of theatrics here. And we had this little secret little cable here, up there with a pulley. Yeah, something like that, something like that. But he wasn't on tippies. He went all the way through. Have a look at that. Imagine that. Imagine he's standing like this, and then the next minute he starts, he's lifted up. Imagine. Thanks, Josh. Imagine. That's how it was. That's how it was. Not, oh, where did he go? He was lifted up. Wow. Wow. He was lifted up. His body did not remain behind. What did the people do? It says in verse 10, and they stared into the sky watching Jesus ascend when two men in white robes suddenly appeared beside them. I mean, that would have given them, that would have frightened the hips out of them. They told the startled disciples, startled, pretty mild, Galileans, why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but he will come back, keywords, the same way that you saw him ascend. The same way that you saw him ascend. Now, the Bible study notes of the New King James Spirit-filled says this, the words are, will so come in like manner. The words like manner means Jesus will return bodily, literally. Comes out of the study notes. Literally. Did you just hear what I said? Jesus actually ascended in bodily form. The disciples saw him go up. They saw him lifted. He didn't dissolve. So, JoJo, are you telling me that he is I am telling you that he is in heaven. I'm telling you that the resurrected Son of Man is there. Important to take note of. He's there. You want scripture? You want me to make it legal? Acts 7, verses 55 to 56. Context. Stephen, earlier follower, leader in the church, he's been captured. He is captured. He has stirred up the crowd so much so that it actually says they are so angry with him that they are gnashing their feet, their teeth. They're gnashing their feet. It says so in the Bible. I mean, they were mad. They were manifesting. They're about to stone him. And then it says in 55, but he, this is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gaze into heaven. Stop right there. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can see into heaven. You can see the supernatural. You can see what God is doing. Just saying. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, we can stop right there. We can stop right there, not read any further. But the very next words are important. Can everybody read that for me from the screen? And said, what did he say? Whoa. And who? The Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The Son of Man standing at the... What did I just say? The Son, not the Son of God, the Son of Man. Who is? Jesus. Standing at the right hand of God. You want another scripture? Hebrews 10. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 10 verses 11 to 12. The title of this in the New King James Version is Christ's Death Perfects the Sanctified. And it says as follows, and every priest, take note that's a small letter P, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man. But this man, capital M, it's in the written in the scriptures, just like that. But this man, this, and when you're going to have a look at the Greek word for that, it's masculine. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Say wow. This is wowza. This is really a wowza. We've determined two things. Jesus, the Son of Man, laid down his life, took it up again in bodily form. He was resurrected. Second thing we have determined this morning, Jesus, the Son of Man, ascended also in bodily form. Why is this important? Because this is the prototype of what will happen to us as believers. This is our future. This is what will happen. Our hope, your hope, my hope, is tied to an empty tomb. Your hope and my hope is tied to the fact that he was resurrected and he walked out of the tomb. Your hope and my hope is tied to that very thing that we are celebrating, commemorating, standing still today and thinking about. You see, in Philippians 3:21, we are given the promise that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious bodies. In other words, the resurrection promise to believers isn't just spiritual or symbolic, people. It's not merely a metaphor for a better life. It's not merely a metaphor for a fresh start. It means that just as Jesus was physically raised from the dead with a real glorified body, we too will be physically raised and given new glorified bodies. The resurrection is real. The resurrection is tangible. The resurrection is not temporary or abstract. It's bodily and it's eternal. It's our hope. We're not trying to escape the body, but we are receiving a perfected body just like him. Church, we must never forget this. Never forget this. We always celebrate Easter once a year. The resurrection once a year. We walk in resurrection. We walk in the resurrection power. His death has secured our inheritance, but his resurrection is what ensures that we now live in that inheritance. Hear what I'm saying? His death has secured our inheritance, but it's the resurrection that ensures we live now. We don't have to wait one day. We live now in that inheritance. He died to open the way, but he rose from the grave to walk that way with you and with me. There is hope. You see, Jesus is both the giver and he's the guarantor. He's the giver and he's the guarantor of our inheritance. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me right now. If you have given your life to Jesus, you have the almighty power of God in you. His name is Holy Spirit. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Let's get excited in this place. You're making me sweat blood up here. Resurrection life isn't coming one day. It's not coming one day. It's here. It's here. Resurrection life is here. That tomb is empty. Resurrection life is here. Look at your neighbor and say, resurrection life is here. Resurrection life is for you. If I can have the team up, that'll be great, please. Jesus said to his disciples, listen to this. He said to his disciples, touch me and see. Touch me. Touch the risen one. Touch, he's inviting. Touch the risen one. See the one who went through the cross, the beating, the humility, had his beard ripped out, had his face smashed in, climbed on the cross, nailed, pierced, buried, resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, touch me. See. What's he doing? He's inviting them to encounter. He's inviting them into an encounter with the Almighty God. He's inviting them into his space, so to speak. He's inviting them into authentic relationship with a Savior that has conquered death. They were looking, the Jews were looking for a Savior. The scholars say they were looking for a Savior for over 1,000 years. And now he's standing in front of them and he is saying, touch me. See. Use your senses. See. The resurrected Jesus, Son of Man, stands before you, inviting you. Inviting you to live a life of faith. Can I remind you again, church, resurrection life isn't just coming someday. It's released that day that Jesus walked out of the tomb. It is here today. You see, resurrection is actually not about Jesus. I don't know if you realize this. Resurrection is about you. Resurrection is about you. Every single one of you sitting here, if you know Jesus, don't know Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're a beggar. Doesn't matter if you're a thief. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your past is. This resurrection is for you. It's for you. You see, his glorified body is your future. His victory over death is your inheritance. And his risen life is your pattern for now and your hope for eternity. I believe Jesus is inviting you. You sitting here today, you that's listening to my voice, he is inviting you, as he invited the disciples back then in that room, to not only believe in an idea, he's inviting you into an encounter with the risen Lord, to walk with him, to talk with him, to go on a little bit of a wonder with him, to dance with him, to love him, to climb on his lap. He's inviting you right now to come closer and closer and closer. But JJ, you don't understand what's going on in my life. I may not understand, but he does, because he's been through it to the cross. He's inviting you, folks. He's inviting you. No more, no more, no more being just blasé about your walk with Jesus. No more about just being warm. Hot or cold is what he said. It's time, church. I'm speaking to the believers this morning. It's time. We need to remember that the Son of Man, who was raised by the power of the Holy, is not distant or symbolic. He's not hanging on a cross around my neck. That doesn't make me a believer. What makes me a believer is knowing that he's living here. What makes me a believer is going, I am sold out for Almighty God. What makes me a believer is saying, Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. Help me, Holy Spirit. You see, he's real. He's alive. He's still the Son of Man. And you know what? He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. He modeled a life, went through it for who? For us, so that we can have the hope. If you've been distant, he says, come. Touch me. See me. I use the phrase a lot here in this house, find the fingerprints of God in your life. If you stop and see, you'll find him. When I was a policeman, I used this analogy as well. I had to dust for fingerprints, it was a tedious job. But you did it so you never missed it. His fingerprints are all over your life. All over your life. The fact that you're sitting here is part of his fingerprints on your life. It's not coincidental you're sitting in this house this morning. If you're distant, come near. If you're hopeless, he says to you this morning, see my scars. If you're faithless, he says, see my scars. That's what he did to them. Touch me. Thomas, here, put your finger here in the hole. Here, give me your hand. I can only think that that's what happened. He's calling to you this morning as well. If you've forgotten your future, he says to you this morning, look at me. Look at me. Because when you look at me, you see what's coming for you. You may be in the most dire of straits right at this point. You may be in the most difficult of positions right at this point in time in your life. You may be in a place where you are on the edge of, do I, don't I? I was woken up this morning at 3:25 a.m. I made sure I looked at my clock because what came in my spirit was very disturbing. I thought of a person and the word suicide came up. What did I do? I prayed like crazy. I bound every negative spirit that I could think of. I even know the person. I gave me a name. 3:25. You see, when you walk with God, he needs you for those moments. And if you just say, hey, I've got somebody you need to pray for right now. And you just interceding could change your life, but it means that you've got to come closer. You've got to touch him. You've got to see him. Because he is the risen Lord of yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes, folks. We cannot settle for a Jesus who only died. We've got to commit to following the Jesus who rose. Heroes. Here's a question for you this morning. Here's my challenge. Young people, listen to me. You're the future. You're our leaders. Can you make your life count for Jesus? Please. It's my request. It's my heart. It's my wife's heart. As pastors and leaders of this family, my heart is, can you make your life count for Jesus? Because he deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves you making a difference for his kingdom. Folks, here's my question to you. Are we going to make our lives count for him? Are you? I've chosen. That's why I'm here. But are you going to make your life count for Jesus? Are you going to make your life count for his kingdom? You know what the answer is in your heart. If it is a yes, can you stand to your feet, please? So I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Hold your hands out. Not looking around. I don't even want to see who's standing here. Just hold your hands out. I want us all to pray this prayer as you hold your hands out in the front. Nice and loud. Guys on the mics as well. Father. Come on louder. Father. today we decide to make our lives count for you. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, help me from this moment forward to live a life on blaze for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, I make this commitment on the 20th of April, 2025. I give you permission to put a flame under my behind, to continue to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him praise? Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's go.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.